I am marveling at the Apostle John. What a privileged person he was. His greatest privilege, to begin with, was to be a disciple of Jesus, to be an apostle of Jesus. Do you know it's a great privilege for you and for me to be a disciple of Jesus as well, to learn from him, to sit at his feet, and to follow him in everything that we do. John also had some other privileges. John was the spokesperson for our blessed Savior. He was transported into the glories of heaven. He was propelled into the future to take a look at all that was going to happen thousands of years beyond his time. And he was also instructed to record and proclaim all the things that God told him to record and proclaim to the people of earth. What a privilege that was. When you think of it, though, it was a marvelous responsibility as well. I think that that responsibility would be absolutely overwhelming. You know that we've been studying parts of the book of Revelation, and we've been looking at John's description of what to take place through the unsealing of the seven seals in a parchment, in a scroll that was in the Savior's hands, given to John, and we saw how the seals were unsealed, and each seal was being unwrapped, each instruction was being unwrapped, and called the seven seals, and John is delivering these to us. But before we review the first five seals that we have looked at, I'd like to put it in perspective for us. At some point, and I believe in our lifetime, I believe in the very near future, God is going to give the command. And when he gives that command, Jesus is going to go into action in a way that we have not experienced before. Jesus is going to be sent from the region of heaven to earth, not all the way to earth, just to the clouds in the air. And when he gets to that point, he is going to give the command, and every believer, dead and alive, those in the grave and those who aren't, are going to be taken up to be with him in glory. It is a preposterous thing when we think about it. Preposterous in the mind of people. Can you imagine such a thing happening? Every believer of all ages going up to be with the Lord forever and forever. There are those who just say it is absolutely impossible. But you know, and I know, nothing is impossible with God. The God who created the earth, the God who created you and me, the God who not only is our creator but also our redeemer, he is the one who can do anything. And at the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, true believers are going to be taken up to be with him. Praise be to God. Just also to set the record straight, we're going to go to glory, if we're a believer, in one of two ways. We're either going to die physically, at which point our spirit, our mind, our soul, our personality goes immediately be with the Lord. Our body remains behind in whatever form it happens to be. We're either going to go to heaven in that way, or we're going to go to heaven via the rapture. So when you think about it for a moment, our soul, mind, spirit, and body, not body, soul, mind, spirit, personality, will be with Jesus. And then at that rapture time, whenever it occurs, our bodies are going to be resurrected from the grave. We're going to be reunited with our spirit, soul, mind, and we're going to have a new body that's going to live for all eternity. This body that we have is not designed to live for eternity. In fact, there were times this week that I really began to understand that this body was not made to last for eternity. However, the new bodies we have will be. That'll happen to the dead in Christ. They will rise first. They will go. And then a nanosecond later, those who are living in Christ, you and me, if he were to come in the next 5 minutes, just like that, in the split of a second, we would go. Our bodies would be transformed, and we would end up with brand new bodies to last for eternity. And believe me, I can hardly wait. Now, all believers will be caught up in glory to be with Jesus. All unbelievers will be left behind, will be left behind. They're going to be left behind to experience what is going to go on this earth during that time, during a tribulation period, a time of approximately 7 years. We do not know the exact timing of the rapture, but the rapture is going to occur. We do not know the exact timing of the tribulation, but the tribulation is going to occur. And that tribulation is coming to punish those who've never placed their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and that includes the Jews who rejected him at that time. So far, we have revealed 5 of the 7 seals. Seal number 1. I'm going to have it on the slide for us. Now, it was, as seal number 1 came as a white horse. You won't see the white horse, but there's the seal number 1. White horse deception. This is deception. The rider on that white horse is none other than the Antichrist. It is not Jesus. It is the Antichrist, the coming world dictator. You can see how this world, even today, is craving for a world dictator who would set things straight. And people are going to bow down to this world dictator, not even knowing the evil that is surrounding him. Believers, we won't be here at the time, but we know the evil surrounding him. Seal number 2 is a red horse. The red horse, the rider indicates the great amount of human blood that's going to be spilled. There's going to be wars upon war upon war throughout this earth. This is all in the future. It's going to happen. The unveiling of seal number 1 and seal number 2 and seal number 3 is the black horse. And this indicates great economic depression and poverty that's going to take place throughout the earth. Seal number 4 is the pale horse. And we understand from the Word of God that its rider indicates death with a rider, Hades, riding close behind, indicating that millions of people, unbelievers, dying and going to Hades. Remember this, believers don't go to Hades. Believers go to heaven. Unbelievers go to Hades. Seal number 5 is martyrdom. This indicates the death of many, many people who have become believers and who are killed because of their faith. Now, just before we get to the 6th seal, we're going to take a look at the 6th seal this morning. We're going to review what the Word of God has to say about the 6th seal. But you might be asking yourself the question, surely things are going to be much... Why is this world going to go through this? And why, Pastor, are you telling us about what's happening when the world is going to be so bad? Surely things are going to get better. Things are better for believers. This world has rejected Christ for centuries. Then before Christ, this world has rejected the Creator God. Over and over again, people did what was right in their own eyes, not what was right in the sight of God. And this, someone said one time, payday isn't always on Friday. Payday is coming eventually. A judgment is coming. The Scripture says it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that the judgment. For believers, there's no judgment. No judgment in terms of whether we'll get to heaven or not. The judgment has already been determined when we put our trust in Jesus. For unbelievers, the judgment will be coming to them for having rejected Jesus as Savior. Seal number 6. You can show us seal number 6. Heavenly signs. Now, heavenly signs plus the mother of all earthquakes. So now let us hear the Word of God as we find in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 to 17. Let us hear the word of God. I watched as he opened the 6th seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth, as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. Now listen to this. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, we all have heard of earthquakes. They're particularly terrifying experiences for those who have gone through them. as near as I know, at least no one in these surrounding communities, have gone through a devastating earthquake. But millions throughout the world have experienced this. It's hard to fully imagine. We see it on television. We see the after effects. But when you think about elevated roads collapsing, or large buildings shaken and collapsing, or bridges with cars on it collapsing, or double-story houses with the second story falling into the first and the first falling into the basement. Hard to comprehend. People in the buildings, earthquakes are absolutely devastating, and it's absolutely amazing when we think about it. And our Lord Jesus tells us that the closer we get to his return, there will be a great increase in both the frequency and in the intensity of earthquakes. This earthquake referred to by John, however, will be up to that point the mother of all earthquakes. It'll be greater than any earthquake that this earth has ever experienced in the past. Someone has calculated that over the past 4,000 years, at least 13 million people have been killed by earthquakes. Perhaps we've all heard of the San Andreas Fault in California, and also the area of the so-called Ring of Fire around the Pacific Ocean. People living in those areas know that something's going to happen someday, but in the meantime, they're ignoring the possibility of what is going to happen. In their subconscious, they know it's going to happen, but they hope it's not going to happen in their lifetime, and they hope it's going to happen in somebody else's lifetime. But one day, it is going to happen. The particular Greek word used to describe the earthquake of the sixth seal means a violent, catastrophic shaking. We note that the sun turns black and the moon turns red. They both darken. This leads to a couple conclusions. I wonder what would cause it. It could well be the result of volcanic eruption. We know that when volcanoes erupt, often there are earthquakes and often there are tsunamis, and we know there's a great cloud of smoke and soot and everything else that goes up, and it darkens the sun. And sometimes it causes the moon, because of the atmospheric conditions, to turn red. On the other hand, it could also be the result of a nuclear explosion. We're reminded that John was not functioning with the 21st century vocabulary, but with the first century vocabulary. We note these words. He says, "Stars in the sky fell to the earth, as late fig drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind." Now, students of the Bible have often wondered whether or not John was referring to actual stars, or maybe to meteors, which he would see falling from the atmosphere. Whatever is happening, John is making it clear that it will be a horrific event. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Stop and think about that for a moment. Every mountain and island was removed from its place. Prince Edward Island is an island. Newfoundland is an island. Australia is an island. There are many other islands throughout the earth. What did John say? Every mountain and island was removed from its place. Now, however this is going to happen, whatever this event is, it is catastrophic, it is horrific, it is dramatic, it is destructive. It is devastating. It's going to be felt worldwide. As mentioned, some Bible students have concluded that this could well be a nuclear explosion. Why would they come to that conclusion? It's because recent history has shown us that when there is a nuclear explosion, the atmosphere rolls back on itself. It is this tremendous rush of air back into the vacuum that causes much of the destruction of a nuclear explosion. That, along with what John thought were stars falling from the sky, some have wondered, do you suppose it even could be missiles that are being launched? And John saw them, not knowing how to describe them. Launched maybe from space, launched from who knows where. John saw them, and he tried to describe them to us in these words. The earthquake however it is caused, will shake the entire earth. And believe me, the people of the earth will notice. Think for a minute about that tragic 9/11 event that happened in 2001. Within minutes, the whole world knew what was going on. This was not possible 50 years ago to know with that great speed as to what was taking place and going on. They received the news via major news broadcasters. People throughout the world did not experience the tragedy. They got it secondhand. However, in a local earthquake, people in that piece of geography are going to feel it. They're going to experience the shaking, the rumbling, and the danger. An earthquake of that magnitude, the one that John talks about in the sixth seal, will be experienced worldwide. Unbelievable when we think of it. Just to think, I can understand an earthquake happening over there, or down there. But to think we're going to experience an earthquake that the whole earth is going to experience is just beyond my imagination. I believe that the rapture will occur before these events take place, and we will escape from it. We will be in glory at that time while the unbelievers on earth are experiencing what is going on. John continues, the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave, and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Now hear this. They call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They must have recognized that God, Supreme God, is sitting on the throne and he's causing it. They must have realized that the Lamb, none other than Jesus, the wrath of the Lamb that's being poured out, they must have realized that they caused it. However, did you notice that they prayed to the mountains, called on the mountains, and called on the rocks? Did they call out and pray to God Almighty, the creator of everything that there is? No, they did not. Did they call out to Jesus, whom we know as the Lamb? Did they call out to him? No, they did not. They called to the mountains, inanimate objects. There are people today who place their trust not in the God of heaven, but in inanimate objects. They place their trust in themselves, or in their superstition, or, heaven forbid, in a horoscope. Many have idols in their home, and they bow down to the idols. They are not giving credit to the God of the universe, to the Creator, and to the Redeemer, and to the Savior of the world. Some of them will even be thinking about a supreme being of some nature, whom they might loosely refer to as God, but they have a certain head knowledge, but they have no heart knowledge. They have not invited the living God into their life. My prayer is that all who are here today, that you have the heart knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. A long time ago, somebody said, what's the difference between salvation and not being saved? They said it's the difference of 18 inches. 18 inches, how does that figure in? It's the distance between the head knowledge and the heart knowledge. The head knowledge, we think there's a supreme God, but we've never put our heart's trust in him. We've never accepted him as our Savior and our Lord. I pray that all of us in this building have a heart knowledge of Jesus as Savior. You'll have noticed John's reference to the wrath of the Lamb. This is a very interesting phrase. Throughout the Old Testament, we read about the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? It's a day that's coming, not here yet, but it won't be long away. The day of the Lord is the same as the judgment of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the same as the wrath of the Lord. Do you know that there are many people who do not understand that God is not only a God of love, but is also a God of wrath? God loves every single person on the earth. He wants the best for every single person on the earth. He knows that the best for every person is to place their trust in Jesus, his Son. Now, have you placed your trust in Jesus as your Savior, the Son of God, the Lamb of God? Have you placed all your trust in him? In Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppresses the truth by their wickedness. Think about it. The scripture tells us that we're going to be living in the end times at a time when evil is going to be called good and good is going to be called evil. We live in that age where things that are evil, where things that are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti the Christian faith are being called good. They are not good. They are evil. We are being asked to adopt things from our federal government throughout the world, various national governments, to adopt things and abide by things that are not consistent with the Word of God. They are contrary to the Word of God. We are living in those times. It says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against whom? Against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppresses the truth of their wickedness. They try and pretend that their wickedness is righteous. It is not. It is wicked in the sight of God. It is the collective wickedness of humankind that brings out the wrath of the Lord our God. In John chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father." Listen to this. "He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So the judgment of God comes to humankind through Jesus the Christ. What a contrast we discover in John's writing when he writes, "From the wrath of the Lamb." From the wrath of the Lamb. If I were to walk up to a house and saw a sign on the fence that said, "Beware of dog," I would be cautious about going in. If I walked up to a house and saw a sign on the fence said, "Beware of the Lamb," I would not be overly frightened about being aware of the Lamb. It doesn't seem right. It seems incongruous that the word wrath of the Lamb would be used. But nonetheless, when Jesus came the first time, when he was on earth some 2,000 years ago, he did come as a lamb. Mind you, occasionally he displayed his wrath. I think it particularly went to the temple, and when it was turned into a den of thieves, and he said it ought to be a house of prayer, he overturned the tables and kicked the people out. That was the wrath of the Lamb. And then we understand that the Lamb became the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, when he died on the cross to pay for your sin and to pay for mine. Yes, he came as a Lamb. He's returning as a Lamb to take all who place their trust in him to be with him in glory. But then the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this earth through Jesus to the people of this earth, the rejecting people of the earth. They will be here during the tribulation. Praise be to God. There will be many who will accept Christ as Savior then. They'll not go to heaven right away. Many of them will be martyred. That's going to happen toward the tribulation. But how much better it is for people to receive Christ this side of the tribulation, to receive Jesus now. This is the day of salvation. This is the day when I must determine that I'm placing my trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Let me conclude by saying this. Number one, the rapture is coming. Believers will be taken home to live with Jesus for eternity. Secondly, the tribulation is coming. Unbelievers will experience the wrath of Almighty God. Granted, some of the unbelievers will become believers, but most will not. And as I said, how much better to receive God's precious gift of salvation now, when you are of sound mind, when you will not be subjected to God's wrath poured out on the world and upon the people of the world. If you haven't, will you give your life to him? today. Father, there are serious times coming. The day of the Lord is coming. There's a day of judgment coming. The day of wrath is coming for all who reject your Son Jesus as Savior. Lord Jesus, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would pour out your Spirit upon this congregation and upon everyone with whom we come in contact, that they will come to know what it means to put all of your trust in you as Savior and as Lord. Use us for your kingdom's sake. Use us to lead others to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.